The staff and I went to a conference this past week. It was a leadership conference. We actually went to Lancaster. The conference was held in Chicago, but technology allows you to do that these days, so we didn't have to pay the cost of going to Chicago. And one of the things that there are a lot of things that came out of that. We went because we're setting goals for next year quite soon, and the budgets for that and that whole process. And so we went for a time of getting away, a time of inspiration. I share this with you because I would ask that you would pray for the staff and I as we think about next year and pray about next year, that God would really lead us and guide us into where he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. While we were there, I was thinking, as you probably were, about our nation, and the stock market this past week went kind of nuts. You know, it was funny because at one point in time I actually checked the stock market on my phone, and I thought to myself, I'm not sure why I'm doing it, because I own stocks, but they're in my retirement. I don't even know what I have. I mean, I just checked the category that said buy stock for me. So, you know, I don't even know what I have, but I know it goes up and down. I know some of you are living off of it right now. It'll be another 40 years before I live off of it. I'm not sure there'll be a stock market by that time, but I have stock. And I thought to myself, there are moments when things like that happen, when it feels like the world can come unglued a little, doesn't it? I mean, you look at all the fighting in Congress over the debt stuff and everything like this, and I say to myself, you know, it just feels like things are just not going well. And there was a scripture that just kind of popped out at me. This is not my sermon. I want to share this with you. And it was from Psalm 86:11. And it spoke to me a lot about kind of how we feel and how we respond in moments like this. In Psalm 86:11, it isn't Psalm 86:11. It was Colossians, wasn't it? Colossians chapter 1. It says this: He, Jesus, is before all things. Meaning literally, he came before all things, but he also has position before all things. And in him, all things hold together. You know, we used to sing the old song, he's got the whole world in his hands, right? And what it's saying is that we oftentimes think of different institutions and people and things as the glue that holds stuff together. You know, like Congress and the court system and all this kind of stuff. But the Bible says the truth is that Jesus is the thing that holds everything together. And that the truth is that over the course of history, huge institutions have risen and fallen, and life has still gone on. The Roman Empire, the people said, could never fall. It was too huge. It was too put together. It was too everything eventually fell. And yet God was still God, and life still went on. And there are moments in life where it feels kind of like things can get pulled apart. Things fall apart. And we have to remind ourselves from time to time that those things aren't holding the world together. There can be anarchy. There's no doubt about it when that stuff happens. There can be chaos. There can be horrible stuff happening. But in the end, when all is said and done, it's Jesus who holds everything together. And we need to take great comfort in that. We need to take great hope and understand that. And an understanding that God allows things to rise and to fall in the course of history for his glory and for his purposes. And when we tie ourselves to that, we feel less of the up and down when we see stuff happening. It doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be active. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be a part of the process. But it means that ultimately we need to entrust these things into God's hands. Now, I want to do something today for which I might get into trouble. I've done these kinds of things before, and I've gotten into trouble before. It's happened. So let me ask, is there anybody in the church that here service here today that considers himself a golfer? Anybody that golfs? Golfer. Not you, Gladys. Don't worry about it. Is anybody here that golfs? Nobody. You got to be kidding me. Dallas, you golf? Unbelievable. You get up here. Now, here's how much of a golfer I am. I didn't like the driver I had, so I went out and bought a driver, and I bought this one for two reasons. It was one of the biggest heads I could find, so I couldn't miss the ball, which I realized later on didn't really matter, because you can hit the ball and it still doesn't go where you want it to. And second, because it was cheap, which is another value of mine. And when Mike Halterman saw that it was called the Nitro Blaster, he had a bunch of fun with that, because that means absolutely nothing. The name, it doesn't mean anything. So here's one club, and this is a long-distance club, right? This will get you some yardage. And this is a pitching wedge, okay? And this is a short, for those of you that don't know golf, this is a short-distance club. And now, I had Tom up here in the first service, Tom Close. And Tom is a golfer. And no, you know, if you know Tom, you know that Tom's a golfer. He's a very good golfer. Now, when I go golfing, I usually take a couple, at least one person with me, but usually a couple. And I do that for a couple of reasons. One is, if you have three people with you, you have more people to help you find your ball in the woods. The second reason is because when you lose your ball, they have good balls in their bag, and they'll give you one because they're tired of looking. They'll say to you, "Don't you have another ball?" And you're just like, they're all scratched by the cart pass. Somebody dug them out of the pond and gave them to me. They're just like, it's my only good ball. And they're just like, "I got a Titleist. Just come over here. We'll drop it in the grass." And that's the way it works all day. I go with people that have a couple sleeves of balls. So here's the thing. When I go golfing, and I went golfing, I think, maybe twice last year. And I haven't gone golfing at all this year. I'm an avid golfer. I go with people that are better than me, which isn't hard to find. There's a large pool of those people. I think I generally shoot in the 120s, which isn't good for those of you that don't know anything about golf. So here's what's amazing to me, and this is going to tie to our sermon because we're not talking about golf all day. It's amazing to me right now that Tiger Woods is playing so bad. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Because if there's anybody who knows golf, Tiger Woods knows golf. Would you agree about that? But he's not playing golf very well right now. It's not hard to argue that he's not the best player in the world right now. Right? There are other people. As a matter of fact, he's pretty far down the list, actually, I think. So I asked Tom in the first service, because when I swing these two golf clubs, they feel very differently to me. So it feels like I should have a different swing with this one than this one. But he told me in that service, it's pretty much the same swing, you just shorten it. Yeah, that which is problematic for me because I still haven't figured that out. So, here's a short club. And this is a wiffle ball golf ball. All right. So, when I take people along with me, this is the part where I'm going to get into trouble. When I take people with me on the golf course, I take people with me so that they can coach me because most of the time I don't really know what I'm doing. So, the people that I go with are willing to coach me on my swing. Right? And so in the first service, what I did was people didn't think I was actually going to hit the ball. They were surprised. I don't know why they were surprised that I actually hit the ball. I hit it right about where Penny Borer is sitting. The people in the front row were literally ducking. And it was kind of a line drive and it hit a young lady. She's okay. It didn't hit her hard at all. She was fine. Yeah, it's just a wiffle ball. She laughed, and we were good. She threw it back to me. And then Tom, I said, "Tom, that ball..." No, I'm not lying to you. This really happened. So I said, "Tom, where should that ball have gone if I hit it properly?" He said, "In the balcony." I said, "Do you think you could put it in the balcony?" Y'all haven't heard about this yet? Really? Tom came within 3 inches of putting it in the balcony. He hit the ceiling right below the balcony. It almost landed in his wife's lap, which would have been sweet. So... now here's the thing. I'm just going to hit the servitor, Patty. Not very hard. There's a reason why I'm doing this. I know somebody's already got the SPRC chair on the phone. So okay. This is a pitching wedge. If you hit it right, it should go really high and land right in her lap. Okay. That was better than I've done before. That looks a little bit like what it should. Yeah. So, but what it really should do is go up and come down. So what did I do wrong?
too high on the ball.
I hit it too high on the ball. Yeah. So, can you show me?
I hope so.
Remember, you're in church. You've got to do this gently. All right? Now, there's a reason why I'm doing this. Okay, I'll tell you in a second why I'm doing this. Everybody's holding their breath, Dallas. Oh, he hit the stained glass. Now, so here's... Okay, now that some of you are freaking out, I'm going to give you an opportunity to leave the church here in just a second, okay? Here's the thing I want you to think about for just a second. And we're going to come back together and we're going to talk about this in the sermon. And I actually want you to talk about this among your friends. How willing are you to listen? Dallas knows what he's doing. He hit the ball. If we're to go out and play golf together, if I want to get better, what do I have to do? No, that's only the beginning. The first thing I have to do is be willing to listen. And I want you to just for a second ponder the question, how good am I at listening? I've done this to shake you up a little bit. I've done it because it's different. If I just stood up and asked the question, how well you listen, you'd be like, eh. I want you to seriously think about this. Because I think there are a couple of attitudes that are very, very basic to the Christian faith. That if we don't have them, it dramatically impacts how well we can become a follower of Jesus. Dramatically. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take just a minute. I want you to think to yourself, what's something new? And it doesn't have to be a spiritual thing. What's something new that I've learned recently? It can be that you learned a new food that you like. I want you to think about something that you've learned recently. And I want you to share it with somebody around you. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about this. We're going to look at a story in Acts chapter 8. It's a very powerful story. I really hope it rocks your world. It rocks my world when I read the story. And we're going to see some very clear progression in this man's life as to what he did and how he responded to God. And it created an environment in which God could do some incredible stuff. And what I want us to think about today is this. And you all have experienced this before. We've been in some places where as soon as somebody's trying to share something important, everybody's kind of shut down for one reason or another. And then we've been in other places where people are kind of sitting on the edge of their seat. And there's the potential, just the potential, for something very big to happen. And we're going to look at this today. And I want you, to the core of your soul, to ask with me of our own lives three questions that I think are critical for this. And we're going to start this by just, I just want you to take time. I mean, you may not like the people around you. You don't have to tell them. But if you just gather with a couple of people around you and just share something new that you've learned recently, and then I'm going to pull you back, and there's a reason why I'm doing this, and we're going to talk about this scripture and look at what God's doing in it. Thank you so much, Dallas. We'll both get in trouble later. So if you think of something new and then talk to the people around you about that for just a minute while I get my stuff together.